Are you ready for this?
Hello and welcome to your all-out cricket pod blast. T20 post-mortem, England's next 12 months are pre-mortem, and plenty of cricket to look forward to from spring till autumn as we make the first incision in our scalpel-sharp preview of the 2014 county season. Don't be a stiff, we'll cadaver a right laugh. Pod blast.
Hello, it's your all-out cricket pod blast, and it's party time on the pod blast, isn't it, Al?
I'm back from Barbados.
Oh, how was it?
I'm feeling incredibly relaxed. I saw a lot of cricket pitches out there.
Did you?
Must go on a tour. You guys have been to Barbados. Phil Walker, Joe Harmon, how are you?
Hello, yeah, fine, thank you. Of course I've been to Barbados.
Of course you have. When one is in Barbados?
I've been twice, actually.
Oh, right.
It's not competition.
Well, not close one.
Where ought one to be seen when one is in Barbados?
St. Lawrence's Gap for me, or the fish bar, Oystins.
Oystins, very bar. Nice. I went a little bit of surfing in St. Lawrence's Gap, actually, last time I was there. Yeah,
I remember I was mainly in Holtown.
West Coast for you then, Joe.
Yeah, very much West Coast. The I also stayed coast. Right in the centre, which was a really stupid place to stay.
Of Bridgetown?
No, the centre of Barbados.
Isn't that a sugarcane field?
Pretty much, it is, yeah. We were out there for the World Cup. My dad booked this apartment and it turned out to be in the middle of Barbados. Lovely beaches, but we didn't really see them.
Introspective time for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
I learned a lot about myself.
Well, here we are chatting away about travel and sunshine.
I know, it's like a holiday programme, Al.
And we've had a wonderful World Cup to enjoy. Congratulations, Sri Lanka.
Hey. Well done, Sri Lanka. Everyone loves Sri Lanka, don't they?
They do. You know, for the Sri Lankans, having lost a couple of times, to be here now with the guys on the pod blast personally congratulating them must mean a lot.
It must be a huge thing for Angelo Matthews, Chandamal and the boys.
Yeah.
What did you make of it, Joe Harmon?
It was interesting you mentioned Chandamal there, because that's a great story. He captained the side to victory whilst not actually being the captain or on the pitch at the time, and Malinga's captaincy was hilarious. I mean, he obviously had nothing to do with the captaincy. Even when he was bowling, was decided by Jai Wardner or Sangakkara.
Where he was bowling, at what pace.
Yeah, he was just enjoying it. But it was great to see Sangakkara take them over the line as well. For one horrible moment, I thought they were going to blow it when Jai Wardner whacked one straight to the fielder. I thought, oh God, they're going to blow it from here.
Yeah.
And Sangakkara had been in horrible form, and I think said himself that they carried me to the final, so it was... It's good that I did my bit, which might be underestimating his impact slightly.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, Malinga didn't have a great game. He was bowling, well, I don't know, a bit too full.
He bowled tight over the place.
Oh no, at the end, he was brilliant at the end.
So Malinga was a beautiful game, great captaincy, drop catch, obviously. That was pretty big. If India had had 20 more runs, that final would have been a classic, wouldn't it?
Well, India stuffed it. Kohli faced hardly any of the last four or five overs. Poor old Yuvraj had an absolute nightmare, couldn't get it off the square. And then even Dhoni comes in for the last two overs and you think, well, he's going to start clearing the boundary, but just couldn't get hold of it, just couldn't get bat on ball.
Well, it's exactly what you were saying. They've got some underrated cricketers. Malinga and Kulasekara are people that can get in the block hole. They're really terrific bowlers and they've got just a fantastic mix. And that's
Pereira,
why they are.
That's the mix,
Pereira,
isn't it?
Pereira
he came
as well.
On and absolutely smashed it around.
Well they have this fantastic list of, you know, again, giving the lie to bits and pieces cricketers. Cricketers who can bowl in the right areas and hit it out of the park. And that's why they're number one in T20 and have been for quite a while.
Do you know that Pereira shifted from being a right-hander to a left-hander when he was 14?
This is opening bat Pereira rather than...
Sorry, the opening bat, yeah, the hitter.
Yeah.
Because he was so obsessed with Jai Surya that he thought, well, I have to become a replica of that man right there.
That's extraordinary. Wow.
And so flipped. He might have been 13. They weren't sure on the commentary, but they said 13 or 14, he's just flipped and done it.
Bob Woolmer would approve of that because he says that all right-handed people should be batting left-handed.
In the art of cricket, doesn't it, Al?
He does, the Bible.
Oh, in the your Bible.
Me and Ross once took The Art of Cricket, which is a very thick book, down to the nets just round the corner here on Kennington Park one day, just the two of us, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we would just look something up and then we would put it into practice.
Try it. Didn't work.
Perfectly.
Well, it didn't work.
No,
did
it was awful.
It was terrible.
But I learnt a lot about myself and my limitations. Which is what life's all about, I think.
As Clint Eastwood tell you. A man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah. A guy who doesn't know his limitations, great segue, Kohli. What a fantastic player. Player of the tournament for you, even though he's on the losing side?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's pure, isn't he? He's pure cricket. Pure. That's what I love about him.
And he's angry.
Always, he's perpetually angry. He's always first in to celebrate a wicket. He lives every single ball. He never leaves a run out there, and he lives it. He lives it every single second of that game of cricket, like he's a child, and there is nothing else in his world. And there's a lot in his world. And so for him to be that focused on the bat and the ball, visceral almost, it's just a beautiful thing to see.
England,
he's the kind of player you'd love in your team, wouldn't you?
Well, England should fear him this summer.
Well, he's not going to get out. Him and Pujara, it's going to be a run-laden summer, no doubt about it. And him and Pujara are just going to bat for weeks.
Yep, yep. Unless England pick Borthwick, say, and then we'll all be all right. So, just quickly going back, thoughts on the final. This reaction to UV and his 11 off 21 balls over the top, the man conquered cancer. 11 off 21s isn't going to thwart him, is it?
He'll come back from this. I think he's in remission from that innings, I would say.
Oh.
Is that okay? No, I think that's
fair.
Yeah, I can say that. That's,
well,
that's,
it's over.
So it is over. I do love Yves Stronger. I do. He's a controversial character. Like Coley, they do have these fantastic, divisive characters in there.
I'd say see Rayner. How angry he was of himself when he got out as
he
well.
He looked embarrassed.
Like, he did.
Well, Rayner's equally culpable, isn't he?
Yes.
He didn't do very much. I don't understand why Yves getting all the hell and Rayner's ticking along quite nicely.
Rayner didn't bat.
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah, but I watched him
bowl.
He was a terrible bowler. I mean, in my mind, Yuvraj Singh and Rayner are just interchangeable in terms of the bowling and the batting. It's the same thing.
They do a very similar thing, but one does it far more aggressively and like a movie star, and the other one just sort of clips along. He could score 8 sixes, and you just really wouldn't notice him, Rayner. That's what I like about it.
It was a bizarre game of cricket, though, wasn't it? India have been unstoppable, untouchable for 2 years in all this pyjama stuff, and suddenly they almost kind of fluffed their lines. It was baffling to watch.
But it's the way 2020 got. I think they'd worked out what a decent score was. And you think, you now assume that you can get 10 and over for the last 5 or 6, no worries. But you can't do that against Sri Lanka. So they suddenly found themselves having not. They were getting kind of 3 or 4 off the kind of 15th, 16th overs. So they found themselves. It's kind of like a runner timing a sprint in like the 5,000 metres. And I think in 2020, you know when to go. But actually against Sri Lanka, it's a slightly different formula that you've got to look at because they can keep you down at the death so much more. And they kind of patted the spinners around for too long. Kohli not complying that. He was, every time he got through. But interesting, actually, Kohli's first up 10 overs looked kind of quite mortal, really. He was
which is what makes him so great. Mm. I mean, you at the beginning was not in nick. I got the feeling that he was really struggling.
His semi-final knock was a masterpiece as well against South Africa. That was just a spectacular knock, really. And he's probably, I mean, he doesn't yet have the test numbers, but you know it's only a matter of time, and probably pound for pound he's the best around at the moment. I mean, de Villiers pushes him close, but for day in, day out, terrifying intensity, then it's probably him, I would say.
Well, what a sense of timing.
Is, I think, at the moment.
Do you think?
I think so.
I like
all
the
right,
terrifying
we'll talk about
intensity.
This after the oval, after 5 test matches on English tracks.
Yeah.
Well, De Villiers doesn't really do that much in England when he comes over. So Kohli does anything.
Time, did he?
Yeah, he didn't need to. Talking of timing, though, with Sri Lanka, not only great timing with Jayawardena and Sangakkara going out, but also the timing of the chase. I feel like if England had been chasing 130 at the rate Sri Lanka were, they would have timed it so they needed to get 6 off the last over. And Sri Lanka absolutely knew they didn't want to be in that position. Mm. And that was
really
the way to do it.
To move Pereira up the order above Matthews, and all the commentators were criticising that. Russell Arnold was saying, I'd have brought Matthews in to knock it around here. They went for the aggressive approach, brought Pereira in, who looked horrible for his first 4 or 5 balls, was barely getting near the ball, and then just launched 3 or 4 boundaries, and it was such a small total, they were there, basically.
Yeah, it was against Mishra, and although I wanted Sri Lanka to win, like everybody else in the world, bar the billion who happened to live in India, it was kind of disappointing, because Mishra's just a lovable cricketer, and had bowled so well through the tournament. It was a shame to see him go the distance. Pereira hits an enormous ball, I mean, he's a terrifying hitter, really, but Mishra kind of didn't really deserve to be the fall guy there, I didn't think.
Well, your coming on to Mishra is a perfect opportunity now, I think, to take a short, mindless music break, because we're going to come back and talk about maybe some of the stars of the tournament and some of the trends that we're starting to see in T20 cricket. Exciting. Hey, Ross?
Segway. Segway, segway, towards the best players of the T20.
To quote LL Cool J, Amit Mishra, something like a phenomenon. wasn't he? I mean, he looks like a bank clerk. And he's pudgy. I tweeted just before the final, may the fattest team win. And on occasions, you really had to... It was difficult to tell. I think on balance, the Indians are fatter. But the Sri Lankan side had some fatties. That was my... Malinga is not in shape.
Really? Is that a big claim?
No, he's not in shape.
He's not fat.
He's going to be very fat.
He's going to be very fat.
That's very different, though.
He's going. He's about fat potential. This is bizarre.
He's going to fight a lifelong battle against morbid obesity.
He's got quite. He's got a deceptively big head, I think.
Is that what's not confusing just his me? I think his belly's also quite fat. Well, and Joe Matthews. Anyway,
we
the
need
point
to
is,
weigh him.
Yes. Weigh Malinga and weigh Steyn, and then you'll know the best.
Like the weight of the baby. We could guess the weight of Malinga. If you want to tweet in what you think the weight of Malinga is, you do it. We'll find it out.
Can I kick things off? I think he's £210.
All right.
What's that in old money?
Yeah.
Divide that by 14.
I'll Google.
He's Googling. In the meantime, Phil, is this the T20 World Cup when the world woke up to leg spin?
In some ways, yeah. It's a bit of a cliche that spinners have been more useful than people thought they would be in 2020 cricket. This is all true.
84 kilograms.
84
there
kilograms.
There we go, 84.
Okay. What, why did you just convert it to metric? Who here is working in metric?
Oh, you want stones and pounds.
Stones and pounds.
Yeah,
I'll work in stones. Give me a second. Continue. Okay. Sorry.
Leggies. Yeah, well, you know, we all know that they take wickets, but they go for a few. But we didn't even really see that in this tournament. I thought Tahir especially was brilliant.
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
Ashwin is not technically a leggy, but has this do through which amounts to a leggy. And that delivery to Amla in the semi will go down. We talked about for years. And Mishra is a good old-fashioned artist of a bowler. And I've had a soft spot for him ever since I saw him bowl against Australia about 5 years ago. And he... It was in India and he bowled a ball to Clark in the last over of a day. Clark was 60-odd not out and he went round the wicket and bowled him a googly round, pitched on, span right into the pads. Clark, the best player of spin in the world, and he stuffed him completely. And that was almost the last thing that I recall that he actually did for India. So it's great to see him back.
Yeah.
And it should send out a signal as well to us lot, to the English, that... We don't need to distrust these players just because, you know, they have a circuitous way of getting into the team.
You and your...
Is this leading to...
You and your fourth wicket.
No, no. This week it's, I don't know, Craddock. How about that? Get Craddock in the team. No, but seriously, you know, it's interesting that we distrust them intuitively and we shouldn't. Because we see that they have versatility in all forms of cricket.
Tahir was an interesting case as well, because he bowls a lot more bad balls than Mishra, but is still very effective for it, and gets wickets with bad balls. Yeah. In 2020, a lot of wickets are got with bad balls.
Yeah, they have a lot of courts. Yeah.
Well, it didn't strike me, Tahir, that it was going to be a one-day cricketer at all, but he does something that's very useful. And that we don't have, and I think we need to take a chance on one of those spinners. But, I mean, Borthwick has been brought up, you know, slightly in jest, but we have an option. We've got some interesting players coming through, and it's take a chance. Don't go with those, you know, not to suggest it would be James Treadwell, but I like Treadwell a lot, but, you know, he very much seems and looks like the conservative choice.
Yeah, if you look at the spinners we picked in Treadwell and Parry.
Yeah.
It kind of says it all, really. And as you say, Treadwell's done a decent job, but it's playing it safe. And you don't win 2020 matches by playing it safe. It's not a format. Perhaps you can get away with playing it safe in Test cricket, but not in 2020.
Yeah, if you're going to pick five bowlers, then they've got to be reliable. But England were bowling nine bowlers a game. An over there, two overs here, three overs there. You can afford to have a maverick, a so-called maverick, who's not necessarily going to do it every day, but it's going to win you a game one in three.
Jed Durnbach?
Oh, just leave him be, man.
Well, some of you with young children may appreciate the music that I've just played, which is the theme music from In the Night Garden. Anyone ever enjoyed In the Night Garden?
I can't say.
I don't know what it is, Alex.
CBeebies. No, it's a wonderful addition to this surreal world of children's television. And I only bring it up on this occasion because I know, inevitably, we're going to start discussing England's performance at the T20 World Cup. Let me say straight away that I left the country after England's victory against Sri Lanka. I didn't see the loss against South Africa. I certainly didn't see the nadir against the Netherlands. And so in my mind, it's sort of never happened.
Yeah, we're still in the World Cup.
We're
still playing.
All right.
Yeah.
We're playing above expectations.
It's all about momentum. Isn't it?
Hell, yeah. We beat people who might be the eventual winners, for all I know. But actually, in reality, when I came back and read these headlines, I was reminded of In the Night Garden, because I've been on holiday with my daughter watching this silly programme. And in it is this character called the Pinky Plonk, which is an enormous zeppelin with tiny little fans, which emits sort of farting noises. Mm. And you can go onto the Plinky Plonk and you can drink Pinky Plonk juice in sippy cups.
Right.
And I was reminded of the England T20 World Cup campaign with that. The sort of enormous zeppelin lurching around the place, making farting noises, with everyone inside drinking crazy juice. And that's really what happened over there in Bangladesh, isn't it? Let's be frank.
There's the inside scoop.
That's right. And Stuart Broad is sort of that plane.
Well,
with
Stuart Broad is
back.
Undoubtedly Macapaca.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Who is Macapaca again?
Macapaca is a character from In the Night Garden.
Oh, okay.
Macapaca is a fan of making loud noises on a horn. Mm. And he will also wash the faces of the other characters. I don't know whether Stuart Broad ever indulged in that.
I'd love it if he did that.
Very hands-on character.
He really is.
It would be almost Jesus-like of him, wouldn't it?
Listen, I think that's all very well put. couldn't be more appropriate. Mm. But I think, and there's something in saying Jade Dernbach before the break, and that sort of 2 minutes of surrealism from our own Salvador Dali, Alex O'Dell. What we did do is we seemed to go with a load of bowlers and a load of batsmen, and the plan was, well, one of them's got to come off. One of the bowlers, let's throw them in there. Jade, he could work. Treadwell, that could work in another sort of way. Will the batsman work? Hales came off, he won us a game. Nobody else came off in quite the same way, and we didn't win any more games.
I'm acutely aware of the fact that I've talked too much in this segment, but I've just got something about Hales. Some people have said, you know what, England did really, really badly. If it hadn't been for that one miraculous innings by Hales, they would have lost every game. That is to completely misunderstand T20. Mm. At every game, somebody has to do a Hales, or two people have to do half a Hales. You can't criticise England for having their guy
the
get
guy
a century.
The Hales. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
Because that's the nature of T20. It's not Test cricket. You're not
but
lucky on
some,
a one-off.
But there is something in there, and that England had no game plan that was ever going to be effective.
True.
So their game plan was just to rely on someone doing something brilliant.
Yep.
Which I guess in most cricket games you are, whatever level, you're relying on someone doing something brilliant. But particularly the way England have gone about things, you'd think they'd have had a slightly clearer plan than the one they had. Because it was kind of baffling the way they, in the lead-up in that West Indies tour, how they just changed their side so much.
And Ian Bell never finding his way into the team, having been flown out there, to me strikes as one of the oddest chords in the whole tour.
Yeah.
You think, why not give him a shot as a great player of spin? I don't understand it.
Phil, you're stroking your chin and you're looking into the semi-distance in a
just
thoughtful manner.
Just looking at the tenement blocks outside.
Ah.
But I think maybe there's a thought flickering across your mind in relation to the England team.
Or in relation
you
to
seem
England
to be
team.
Restraining yourself.
No, I was just listening to what you always had to say. I don't know. To me, I just look at it and I think, right, okay, they've got a couple of muscle men up top, but then there's no real obvious power and strength down the pipe. I don't think they had that bad a top six, really. They got close in the game after the one that they won against Sri Lanka. They just gave a few too many away. I just think that with England in this tournament, it was all drifting that way, you know. It would have been an astonishing about turn to have turned over the winter from hell. With this, with Gilo up front, who has become been kind of demonised now, and his position is becoming increasingly untenable, it would seem. And I just felt that to overturn it would have been a step too far.
There was something like gloriously unexpected about the Sri Lanka win, and grimly inevitable about the defeat to the Netherlands at the end. It was the perfect finale to just a terrible, terrible few months.
Well, it's somehow we just seem to this England team drag desperation and awfulness from the jaws of respectability. I mean, that's what we do, seemingly, as a team. Had we have won that Netherlands game, emphatically, we could have gone, well, you know, that New Zealand with the rain, we could have through this.
But Stuart Broad had said after the defeat to South Africa, we can go home with our heads held high. It was like, hang on, you've still got another game. You can't.
Yeah.
And like, it did seem inevitable. And it was just one of the worst 2020 performances you've ever seen from anyone. I mean, it just
I didn't actually see any of the Netherlands game.
I tell you what, though,
I'm not just speaking with hindsight. It was obvious they were going to lose that game. It was absolutely blatantly written in the cards that they were going to lose that game. Everything was pointing towards the final ignominy, or however you say it, at the end of this winter from hell. The thing that alarmed me the most of the many platitudes was Gilo saying that we're a team without egos. And he said this, I think it was just before the Netherlands game, when he said it.
What could he be referring to?
Oh, God, it's so weird.
And he said it as if in order to celebrate this fact. And I looked at Coley and Semi in the final and thought, well, Coley steps up and says, I'm going to win this game. I'm going to win this game for a billion people. It's not going to be anyone else. It's going to be me. You need a pretty big ego to drive yourself.
You can see that in the final against Rankin, was going absolutely nuts at the non-strikers end. I'm going to win this game for you. Stop missing the ball. Effectively, every time you guys missed it.
Counterintuitively, I've been quite... I found myself defending Ashley Giles a little bit because... To me, it doesn't seem like there's a whole weight of evidence to justify this antipathy towards him. But when I heard that, it just seeped away.
Well, Joe, I think it's time to hear from you. Gilo, in or out?
For me, it's got to be out. And I kind of agree with Phil to an extent that I don't have the kind of hatred that some England fans seem to have against him, which I think is a bit harsh given he was a pretty solid performer with fairly admittedly limited attributes, but he did some good things.
He was a scrapper.
But I just think English cricket's stuck in a rut, and we need to get out of that rut. And I see, as a lot of English fans do, Ashley Giles as part of that.
Ashley does Riles, though. Ashley Riles.
So yeah, I would like to see Peter Moores back in. We've been talking about this in the office. I think most of us want to see Peter Moores back in, even though we're not quite sure why we do.
No,
he's talked about as a progressive coach, and that sounds really enticing in this kind of rather backwards time of English cricket. And also, I mean, you talk about coaches, I can't say that Mick Newell is a better coach than Peter Moores.
What's the shortlist? Newell, Moores.
Well, Trevor Bayliss, inventor of the wind-up radio, he's in there as well.
Is it the same Trevor Bayliss?
No.
Oh, I thought it was. Imagine if it was.
I would have gone for him.
You're about four generations out.
No, it's not.
What about Benjamin Franklin?
Is it? He's only about 35 years older than that.
Really?
Man, I would say, yeah.
Really? Yeah. I don't know who Trevor Bayliss is.
Well, he's NSW coach. He's 50 odd. He's been backed by various Aussie pundits as a no nonsense kind of clean up job. He'll come in and won't take any shit, and will approach the whole thing with a kind of clear mind and a new approach. Jeff Lawson was backing him, saying he's one of the best coaches around, and so on. And so
but
on.
He's an Australian coaching England in the lead up to an Ashes tour.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it won't be him. I don't think. There's any chance of that.
No. I like the possibility though with Segwayed, and we're really debating something that can we get excited about? I mean, is it? Of course we should all care about the England management, but do we?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Nobody talks about Cookie's role, do they? Nobody talks about the role of the captain, which is and will always be far more important and central than a coach at the end of the day. I mean, look at India, the best team in the world. Is Fletcher's role as central as Dhoni's
role? That's the beauty of Fletcher.
Clearly not.
That's what Fletcher
does.
That's what Mark's
doing. Sure. But he's a top class coach in part because of that, because he knows his position and he knows that he keeps himself.
Butcher would agree with you. I mean,
we've talked about
it the other day.
But there is a deference for coaches that I think is over the top in this country. Mm. Cookie, who's really struggled with the bat and has struggled as a skipper last summer to a degree, but obviously over the winter it was disastrous. And I mean, there's a very reasonable case to be made. Maybe it's time that you concentrated on scoring some runs and you gave the job over to somebody else. There would be a legitimate case to be made for that, but nobody's interested in that argument, and they're only interested in whether it's one kind of Bibs and Cones merchant or another Bibs and Cones merchant, you know? Yeah. And for me, I struggle to get hugely wound up about this issue.
But, we talk about...
But we have to be.
But we have to be to do this show. And I would put this to you. I'm reading the book Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. It's about the mind. And the mind tells us that we struggle naturally for a story that makes sense. Is Peter Moores just the story that in some way makes some kind of sense?
Well, I guess it does. And it's quite... There's a neatness to it. He doesn't like Peterson. Peterson's gone. we bring back in Moores. There is that kind of twisted logic to it. And Moores has got an incredible reputation as a coach, and as I said, as not being a player myself or in amongst the game in that sense, it's hard to know, but players all talk about him as one of the best hands-on coaches in the game. He also did a lot of good things for England in the time that he was there.
Yeah,
he did. He brought in Flower, which was a pretty good choice in itself.
Yeah.
So I think whilst he will have obviously lost a little bit in terms of that fallout with Kevin Peterson, I think he'd have learnt a lot from it as well. And I think there is also the case of if they did want Trevor Bayliss would presumably want to start talking about Kevin Peterson. Why haven't I got one of my best players at my disposal?
Yeah.
We know Peter Moores is not going to come in and start asking to get Kevin Peterson back in the squad.
Wasn't Peter Moores too intense?
No, I don't think so.
People said he was, didn't they? At the time. Are we about to replace Andy Flower with somebody who got sacked for Andy Flower and is too intense?
I think he's quite an affable bloke. Whenever I've had any dealings with him, he's always come across like that. And that is his reputation, that he's a good man and an open man. He's probably intense in as much as cricket is his life. But then no more intense than Bob Warmer would have been about cricket as well, you know. I don't think he projects that kind of stern, you know, heavy duty intensity that Flower does and did. I think Moores would be a good character for this team.
Who else on
and
the
I
list?
Thought, I thought he was incredibly impressive in the aftermath of the Peterson stuff, because he never once opened his mouth. And he never deviated from the line. It was a great honour to coach England, and I hope they do well.
Yeah, and all I wanted is he said all along, all I want is another shot to show that I can do this, and I've learned from experience. And
Mark Butcher says some good players at the time as well.
Well, Mark Butcher says it's an impossible job, and you've got to have an English patriot to do it. So Peter Moores.
There we go. Well, then there is McNeill as well. Is the other candidate?
He's our second patriot.
Has won the county championship of Nottinghamshire. Won a One Day Cup last year. Has a track record. Is he, I guess, glamorous enough? Does that
did he fall out with KP?
No.
And Nottinghamshire?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, did he as well?
Well, so he's got that in his favour as well.
So yeah, exactly. So it's all haters of KP Club. That's what we're putting together at the moment.
It's all leading to Moores. And it looks quite persuasive that it will be Moores.
I still think
at the end of it, Ashley Giles will get the gig.
I think if that does happen, that'll be in a large part or a huge part down to the fact that that's the man that Alistair Cook won.
Bang on.
When I try and come up with an opinion, and it's pretty arbitrary, I think of my father-in-law, who's a very robust American with strong views on sport.
Yes.
And if you told him...
Does he carry a gun?
He doesn't. You're not allowed in Pennsylvania.
Oh. Okay.
But if you were to tell him that the guy who got sacked before the last guy who was a failure... Or the guy who's just lost Christ knows how many games in the last week. We're even in the running for this position. You'll be met with incredulity and scorn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to be a little bit American about this whole thing. I think there is an English establishment. It's not Gubby Allen anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not the Sirs, this, that and the other. But there are people who apparently fit the bill. And I think we need to ignore them.
But I think part of the reason Moores was forced out was because he didn't fit the bill in the first place. I think that's perhaps part of the reason he deserves another shot. Peterson basically didn't respect Moores because he didn't have any England caps. You see the way Peterson speaks to someone who's interviewing him,
like me,
who has some England caps, or the ones that doesn't. You can see it.
Did he not respect your Essex youth record?
No, he just didn't know about it. This is the problem.
Should have told him.
I'm actually referring to another man of Essex in Nick Knight here, rather than yourself. But he didn't respect Nick Knight's international career, so therefore basically doesn't really want to speak to him.
You never see that 100 of. From number six against Pakistan. I mean, that's great.
He's the outsider insider, isn't he, Peter Moores? And maybe that's going
to
be...
It's all leading to Moores, and it'll be Giles.
Well, the final word for Phil. He's the editor.
Well, those are predictions. Have we got time for some county predictions?
Yeah, we certainly do. Let's have a mindless jingle.
County cricket. Hey, let's get rid of that old international cricket nonsense and get on to some fantastic county cricket. The sun is shining. April is here. The county season is underway. Oh, it's so exciting. Where have you guys been, Phil and Joe, today?
Joey?
We've been at the Oval. We didn't see a lot of cricket. We saw Jim Allenby send down a couple of overs of lightning medium pace.
How many overs did you see today?
I think it was... Five or six?
Yeah, about that.
About five or six. But we had a four-hour editorial meeting, so it was good fun.
That's all you need in some ways, isn't it? That's almost too much. Too much fun. Good thing.
Were you at the Oval yesterday?
No, not yesterday. Today, only today. It was uniquely demoralising today.
So you didn't manage to see Stephen Davies hit 60-odd yesterday?
That would have been nice.
No, I didn't see that.
Should be in the England team.
Well, you've said it before.
I'll say it again.
Listen, we're about to give you some predictions. The AOC team are putting together a prediction package for the new issue of All Out Cricket. I want to just review some of those predictions. We'll start with Phil Walker. What were your predictions, Phil?
Oh, I've got loads, mate. Firstly, Notts are going to win it. Notts are going to win the championship. I've settled on this one. It was a 1 in 9, and I'm going.
have they got the bowlers?
I've just got your prediction up here. You finish your prediction with... You said you've gone for 1 in 9, but you finished off with Middlesex or Yorkshire. So you've actually gone 3 in 9.
No, I've gone for Notts.
Yeah.
And if Notts kind of have an accident or something, then one of those two...
You'd have an each way bet.
The reason being, we'll sit... I don't know, you know...
Could be anything.
Flooding. Yeah, flooding.
Earthquake. Worcester.
Ebola.
Worcester stuff. Yeah.
Peter Siddle, you're asking me about the bowlers. Well, Peter Siddle signed up for the whole season.
Yeah.
Luke Fletcher backs him up. Gurney backs him up as well.
Andre
Adams. That's a top quality seam attack right there. Andre Adams as well. They've got Phil Jakes, who they've brought in to open the batting, and they've got a middle order of, you know, Patel and Lam and...
Patel's got his century.
Did he get a century today? No, we've got 93, I think he got.
93.
Yeah, these nicely onto my prediction for the MVP player. Which was Patel, who's presumably top.
You've gone with the leader.
2 days,
yeah.
And that's what you go for. Would you go for Sam? I do love Fat Sam.
I think it's ridiculous that we've just had a World 2020 in Bangladesh and he didn't get selected.
Well, he would have fitted right in because he's overweight.
I mean, look, you say that, but I absolutely agree. I think he was the perfect selection. We were looking for a guy that was a left-armer that could keep things tight, but at the same time, we were missing one batsman. I mean, that seemed crazy.
Yeah, Andrew, and last World 2020, he was one of our best batsmen. Anyway, that's been and gone. My prediction for the title was Yorkshire this year. I think they've got really strong batting lineup, excellent seam attack, and also I think crucially they've got some England fringe players who I'm not convinced are going to see that much England duty. Bairstow being one, Bresnan quite possibly being another, and who knows where England are with balance at the moment. So those are three players who really, I mean, that's the core of a really good championship side. Then you've got Kane Williamson coming over from New Zealand, batting a three, and side bottom and Jack Brooks taking over the wickets.
Yeah, I think Yorkshire's a cracking pick. Jason Gillespie is a brilliant coach, and I don't think we can fault you.
Listen, that segues onto my choice as well, because I'm going to go for Warwickshire.
As a Worcestershire fan?
Yeah, as a Worcestershire fan. Unfortunately, I think Warwickshire have similarly got some great England style, or almost England players, who just won't get a look in this year. Chris Wokes but Chopra won't get a look in, and I think they're both excellent players. I think Wokes will probably climb further up the order as a batsman, and is the perfect bowler in these early season conditions.
Could see a lot of trot as well.
Laurie Evans is coming on as a player. Keith Barker will presumably be fit for the whole season. And I think they'll just have a far better season than last.
I be controversial? I think the side to look out for this season, not necessarily in the long form, but across all formats, Lancashire. We talked about Peter Moores, but they've come straight up from the second division. I think they're going to cause mayhem in the first division. It was a really freak situation when they went back down.
It was. They got a really good pack of seamers as well there.
And Kerrigan.
So they've got Jarvis, who's come over from Zimbabwe. Hmm. And they've got, obviously, Jimmy Anderson will play the odd game here or there. He's taking a five for first up. Mm. They've also got Carl Holk and Glenn Chappell, who took 110 wickets between them, I think,
and
in
Butler,
the championship last year.
Trying to prove something.
And Butler. How much they'll see of Butler, though, isn't it? Because he might well be playing Test cricket before the summer's out.
Yeah.
Well, this leads on to another outsider pick, because I quite like Luke Proctor. I think he's a good seam bowler, very
funny
willing.
Funny action.
But, and he also bats a bit as well, though. Similarly, I always predict at this point of the season, Adam Lythe from Yorkshire to have a terrific season. And he never quite has as good a season as I predict, but who knows?
Well, Lythe overtaken by Lees in the Lions tour. Just looking at England prospects, I mean, I know it's early doors, but Morgan, first ball duck.
Yeah.
Wasn't it today? Yeah, for Middlesex. Yeah. And Robson, not scoring many for Middlesex.
Although no one scored many for Middlesex. Yeah. By comparison, he scored a few. I think England want to play Robson, though. I think Robson probably will play the first.
I think that's going to happen.
The summer. Morgan has got to get some run, doesn't he? And that they want to pick him, but he's got to show something.
More predictions. What are we? How are you for?
Well, second division. I'd like to have a look at that. Is this finally going to be the season that Hampshire managed to take some four-game form? Four day game form. Hampshire,
Long
four,
County.
Yes.
Well, they're 37-3 in their first game against Worcester.
Well, that's promising.
Apparently, don't have any seamers, but they've taken them out quite early on. It's difficult division two. I think Worcester seemingly don't have much, but I would say they've got quite a few good young batsmen coming through.
Tom. A lot of good kids, but it's a tough ask to...
It is a tough ask.
I've gone for Hampshire to win it. I think I said Atacanta, potentially. Which is...
Is he a player?
Unnecessary prediction thrown.
Atacanta.
Essex will go up as well.
I think Surrey and Essex will be vying to join Hampshire. I think Hampshire Carl Abbott will take tons of wickets.
I agree, yeah.
It just will suit him down to ground. Division 2, seeming wickets. And then, Essex and Surrey, two big beasts with plenty of big players in there.
I think it's going to be a big season for Rhys Topley. I think he'll have a really good season. I think Timel might well have a really good season.
When you were at All Out Cricket?
Yeah, nicely.
When you were talking about Essex, you went a little bit Essex.
I went a little bit. Well, I'm quite excited about Essex. I think they might win the league. I would say that. And Surrey also, they've got to have a good season one of these days, haven't they? They really have to. I mean, Sibley is an exciting young batsman. Yeah. They've got a lot of
What about Leicestershire? Anybody seeing anything for Leicestershire this season?
There's five of us online who did our predictions here. Four of them went for Leicestershire to finish bottom of the 18. I didn't. I went for Kent. Who are equally abject, but four of us went for Leicester.
Yeah.
They've kind of given up on four-day cricket. I know they won't be saying that themselves, but they kind of have, really. And they survive by bringing in a few people to the one-dayers, and they might get to the finals day because they throw, all their concentration in that. They're not really bothered about four-day.
But it's tough, though. They're relying on either kids who have had 1 or 2 years, or they're relying on, they've got Charlie Schreck and Anthony Ireland.
Yeah.
And that's... They've kind of got the much older players and the much younger players and not a lot else in between. It's hard to...
But they suffer more than any other club from the footballification of cricket. They bring kids through and they sell them because they don't have any choice.
Are they going to be able to keep shit?
Replace them, they get 35-year-olds on lowish contracts.
One more season, isn't it?
Thacker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's been for a while anyway, oddly... He didn't have a great year last year, and that's partly because too much responsibility was put on him. But all it takes is one fantastic year, and he's snapped up by someone else.
Probably Nottinghamshire.
Guys,
yeah,
I'm
going to
hear the sound, podcasters, of me opening up the Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, come on, crack on.
Come on. Keep talking.
Breakthrough kid, Keaton Jennings at Durham.
Oh, well, he's good.
Back.
Got
player.
A great blues man name.
Country and Western star.
Yeah, fantastic name.
Well,
Joey, you've got Rhys Topley as Ross has already. Who else did I say?
Bill Drummond.
Who Kevin's got to give a run.
Oh, he's terrific. I'm going to go for Tom Coler-Cadmore just because I'm massively biased and he's a player no one knows. He's a Worcestershire player.
He's playing in this round of championship game.
He is indeed, and that was a slight surprise. He's a record scorer for Malvern College last year, which is a sign of good things.
Dominic Sibley didn't back up his 200 with much at the beginning of this season. He got a duck, I think, for Surrey. But I'm a Surrey fan. I'm hoping for big things out of Sibley this season. So let's see how he does with a run at number three.
And the man to be the best overall batsman of the summer, Kane Williamson. Batting at three for Yorkshire. That boy is class.
I wouldn't argue with you. I think that's very good. I'd like to throw in Wokes. I think Wokes will have a big season. I think Toby Rowland-Jones in this early part of the season could take a hatful of wickets like he often does.
Yeah, what about Somerset? What do people think about the Overton Twins and what's going to happen down
Somerset,
there? Because last season was difficult, wasn't it?
It's a tricky one. I mean, I think they're much more likely to go down than they are to win the title. And oddly, in the Championship, there's not a huge amount of difference between the two. It's such a close league. But they missed... their bowling attack was short last year, basically. I mean, Alphonso Thomas took a lot of wickets, but otherwise they were short. And Triscothic didn't make tons of runs, which... You're just relying on Triscothic year after year, and he's getting to that age where perhaps he's not going to make some runs. So I would, if I was Somerset fans, I'd be a bit worried about Championship.
What do we make of Jamie/Craig Overton, in particular Jamie Overton? Because I watched a couple of TV games, and I thought he's a guy who's bowling quote a heavy ball. but I wasn't blown away by what I was seeing, and yet he's getting a lot of hype.
He is. I mean, people who know a lot about fast bowling, Mike Selby, for instance, called him at the start of last season as an outsider for an Ashes spot. Now, injury and form didn't quite take him that far, but you kind of, when young seamers emerge on the scene, it's often the old seamers that are worth listening to about them. And
part of his problem is that he had floppy hair.
Yeah.
And so he didn't convince. Once he shaves that off, and then he looks good. Like a proper fast bowler.
Well, Stuart Broad had a similar. Yeah. Similar
there was an absence of a gold crucifix at various times.
He needed to kiss something.
Basic error, right?
His buttons were done up slightly too high.
Yeah, exactly.
On other
he
occasions.
Needed to know the style more than anything.
That's right.
I would say Mark Wood will take more wickets this season than Jamie Overton, I would say. I think mentioned in the All Out Cricket players to watch.
He was one of our 10 to watch. Yeah,
yeah, a terrific player.
All right, so are we excited about this season? Is it going to be
one
of the best?
Today.
I wasn't until this afternoon at the Oval, and it's really...
Because this is supposed to be the season where England places are wide open, first six rounds. You know, Sri Lanka aren't coming till June.
I'll tell you what, the international summer, genuinely, I'm not saying this to build up some hype, it's going to be brilliant.
I think so too. I think this India tour is going to be absolutely cracking. Yeah. And we'll do well to beat India too. All right, well, we're coming towards the end of the show.
I nearly did, but I'm back. And ladies and gentlemen, what a fantastic show it's been. We won't leave you hanging so long next time. Anyone else got any order of business, Alex?
Well, it's early in the season, I know, but we've just been presented with a copy of the Cricketers Who's Who 2014.
Oh, that's exciting.
Available from alloutcricket.com for £12.50, including postage and
packaging. Oh, know your David Willey from your Daniel Bell drums.
Give us a fact, Alex. Give us a fact. To
I'm opening at random, and my lord, have I opened up at random. Here's Andrea Agathanagelu.
Agathanagelu. Now, I'll tell you, he scored a century early last season for Lancashire, and I would tip him actually to have a quite good season this one.
This is a man who once played for Greek and Swaggers and China. No, those are his nicknames.
Oh, okay. Okay, those are nicknames. And you've opened up at Syed Ajmal as well. It could be a great signing for Worcester. Not many people are going to take many wickets with spin early in this season, though, are they, guys?
I wouldn't thought so. And I have another flair.
Yeah, absolutely.
We open up Liam Hurt. Is he going to inflict some pain on the opposition?
I think they call him the Hurt Locker. That's what they call him. And then Liam Hurt. Doesn't mean a thing. Tweet us.